Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to Annie Rogers from MLB.com. She covers the Royals. Hello, Annie. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Are you a fan? Do you give a thumbs up to the Royals getting the earlier start time just after 3 o'clock this afternoon because they're in Milwaukee, and, of course, you don't want to have the Milwaukee Brewers playing at the same time that the Bucks are trying to win an NBA championship in Milwaukee?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love when teams of the same city kind of support each other. You know, you see that a lot with the Royals and Chiefs. So it's fun. It's fun time in Milwaukee, I think. And, it's been a fun series. So I'm always rooting to watch it. And you can't really watch it when you're watching baseball. So if we can watch both, that's even better.
Will Milwaukee close it out and win the title tonight, or will Phoenix extend the series to Game 7?
I'm hoping for a Game 7. I love Game 7, the best thing in sports, and also I have family in Phoenix, so I'll give them the nod there.
Okay, so you have an actual reason. That's good. Okay, we'll take that. Okay, let's get into some news before we bring Nate Bucchetti, and let's start with some exciting news. Bobby Witt Jr. and Nick Prado promoted to AAA. Your reaction to that news as we keep our eyes on two of probably the two hottest prospects in the Royals organization, and certainly Bobby Witt Jr., the top prospect in the Royals organization.
Yeah, it was definitely time. You know, they've been mashing down there, both of them back-to-back in that lineup. You know, like I said, I told you guys, you know, around the middle of the season is when they need to start looking at different promotions and seeing kind of what moves they need to make, what openings they have. And the infield in Omaha was getting kind of sparse, so they had an opening there. And, you know, after the Futures game kind of showed that these two were ready. So the Royals made that move. They always kind of look at their prospects, and when they're ready, it's time to kind of start thinking about that next move. So this was it for them, and now they'll kind of settle in AAA. Be interesting to see how they adjust to that next challenge, and then who knows from there. So it's very exciting. I know they're excited too.
Annie Rogers is our guest. All right, Annie, and then we'll get Nate Bucchetti to chime in on this. Royals.com, MLB.com, there's a story, and it goes through different people's opinions, the beat writers' opinions of who will be buying and selling at the trade deadline. And, of course, you handled that question for the Kansas City Royals, and the available answers are buyer, seller, or both. And you answered both, which made me irrationally angry because I think the Royals should be sellers. And I'm not saying, you know, trade it like some people suggested, trade Salvi. I don't want to trade Salvi. I'd like to see Salvi here. I think he's an important part of helping these young pitchers develop. But I do think I would like to see them be at least a little aggressive in moving some veterans who probably won't be here by the time this team is competitive. And so if you would, tell us why, a little bit more in depth, you said both, and we'll get Nate Bucchetti's response, because I don't know if you know this, Annie. Nate Bucchetti is in Beverly Hills, at the Beverly Hills Marriott, and so he only answers select questions, and he did want to talk about this. So we'll let you answer, and then we'll get Nate's response.
All right, well, I'm happy to explain, and I'll explain a little bit about how those assignments work at MLB.com. You have three answers. That's the only three answers you can put. And when I think the Royals are still trying to figure out what they're going to do at the trade deadline, what answer should I put? I can't put neither. I can't put they don't know yet. I have to put either buyer, seller, or both. So I chose both because I thought that would be maybe the best answer at this moment, because they could be, I think they're still trying to figure out what they want to do. What the best course of action is. for them. So that is why I chose both. It's not because I think that they are actively going to buy it. It's not because I think they're actively going to sell off everything. It's just because at that moment in time when the assignment was due, I only had three options to choose from. And I thought that maybe could incorporate both. And I tried to explain that a little bit in the answer. I don't know if you read that part.
I did.
Maybe I didn't do a good job.
No, I'm not angry at you for writing, because you write what you believe. I'm more irritated that they don't know what they're going to do yet. That it appears it just seems like they still feel like they're close to competing, and they could compete next year. And I don't believe that to be true. And I think it's time for them to look in the mirror and say, okay, you know what? We're not as close as maybe we had hoped when we made these deals in the off season. And so I do think that they should know what they're doing.
No, I agree with you 100%. I'm just saying, you know, I don't think they want to sell off everything that they have right now, because I think they believe that they are closer than maybe what the fan base thinks they are right now. They want to try to make that turn next year. They wanted to do it this year. It didn't happen. They were too far off the mark. But I don't think they should sell off some of these core pieces, like you said, Salvi, Whit Merrifield. I don't think they should sell those off when they, you know, they do believe that they can at least be better next year. So there's a difference between selling off everything and selling off, you know, certain pieces, let's say like a veteran piece they signed over the offseason, Mike Minor, Carlos Santana. I've also heard a lot about how Carlos Santana brings, you know, the veteran presence to the clubhouse that they really like with all these prospects coming up. So there's a lot of different factors that go in here. And I think that when you just put them in a buying bucket or a selling bucket, you know, it kind of doesn't tell the whole story.
Nate Bucati.
So it sounds like the same cycle they've been in for a while now, where they go into the season thinking they're going to be able to be somewhat competitive, then they're not, but they think maybe the next year they'll be competitive, so they don't make any like big time trades. They just, because you're not going to usually get a big return if you're just trading away rental players, right? Is that fair to say?
Correct. Yeah, that would be right.
So, and I'm not. Hey, maybe they can't get anything big time for Whit Merrifield and Santana and those guys anyway. I know that's kind of been part of the story over the years, but I'm just kind of wondering, like, if they really think they're that much, they're close to competing next year, doesn't that mean that they are vastly underperforming this year? And if so, should someone have to pay a consequence for that?
Don't you think they're vastly underperforming? I mean, look at the lineup that they started the season with. Wouldn't you think that's one of the more deeper lineups in at least it, you know, the AL Central? And there are people who have not performed up to expectation. I mean, we talk about it all the time, Hunter Dozier and Jorge Soler. I mean, they're just not performing the way that everybody thought they would, right? So, yeah, I would absolutely label them as vastly underperformers. And I think you're kind of seeing that turn towards, you know, Hunter Dozier is slowly starting to show, you know, flashes of the player that he was. I think everybody can kind of see that these past few games. And then the Royals are kind of pulling back on Jorge Soler, and you know, he's not starting as much as he did in the early part of the season. And we've talked about this before, so I do think that they're underperforming. I think anybody could tell you that. But I also think that a lot of it is also on the players too. And just by going with the team has said, Dayton Moore and Mike Feeney have expressed confidence in the coaching staff, at least, you know, to finish for the season. So I do think that it's fair to say that they're underperforming, at least from the offensive side.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's several pieces, obviously. I mean, you know, who would have thought Jorge Soler would have been this bad? Who would have thought 100%. Hunter Dozier would have been this bad? Who would have thought, now I'm sure there will be a smart ass or two that would say, yes, I would have thought this, but who would have thought that Modesty would have been this hurt this often and this unavailable? I mean, nobody saw that coming. And I mean, really, Nicky Lopez has overperformed. But we had this conversation yesterday. Who else could you say has been, besides Salvi and besides Nicky Lopez, who else has overperformed based on expectations? Really, anywhere on the team?
Yeah, I don't. You know, I think Scott Barlow has. You know, if we're looking at the whole team pitching wise, Scott Barlow has done a really, really good job.
He's been terrific.
So I think he's probably in that category. But you know, you've had a few breakouts. You know, rookie Jake Brent, I think, is someone to definitely keep an eye on for future years. Kyle Zimmer is starting to get there as well on the pitching side. But yeah, offensively, I think you can make a case that the lineup is, you know, it's just streaky. And Whit Merrifield has talked about that, both individually and as a whole. You know, they have really good games, and they kind of flex that depth that they have, and then they don't have good games, and it's really up and down. So it's fair to say, like, none of them think that they're, you know, living up to their potential right now.
Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all agree on that. When you say, like, at least offensively, they've underperformed. I mean, I don't know what was fair to expect from the young pitchers that came up, but none of them have exceeded expectations there either, right? Like, it's just I don't know. Like, how do we evaluate? You know, I guess like what I'm trying to say, Annie, is like if it's gone this poorly this year. Is it naive to think that somehow it's all going to turn around next year? Like, what do we have to base that off of?
No, it's a really fair question, and it's something that needs to be asked. But I do think when we went into the season, you knew the pitching staff was going to be young and a little unproven. The bullpen was like that. You know, coming off of last year, you didn't really know how to evaluate last year. So it started out as a strength, and it's kind of, you know, they're tired there. And then the pitching, the rotation, somewhat unproven. You have Brady Singer, who's still establishing himself. Brad Keller, has underperformed as well. So I think, you know, that's kind of fair to say there was a lot of questions surrounding the pitching, I think, going into the season. And then you knew that they had to score runs. That was how they were going to win games, is with their offense. And, you know, it's when that piece is underperforming, you kind of can see how this season has gone the way it has. So I think that's kind of maybe everybody's expectations at the start were naive based on how they had done the past few years. So I don't know. There's a lot of different questions that you can ask about this season. And then as far as next year, I do think, you know, I don't think a lot of people are going to like this answer, but a whole year of development in the minors with those pitchers and plus in the majors with, you know, someone like Brady Singer or Chris Bubich, that does a lot for them. And I know people don't like hearing that because it's a results-based and you're not seeing all of the results, but I do think that there's something to be said about a whole other year of development and what they've learned. And, you know, that's a hard answer to hear, but that's what I've got.
But I think that, to your point, the somewhat lost year of development, or at least being able to compete in minor league games, that had an impact. And let's be honest, not every young pitcher is going to be impacted by this, but now the crackdown on the use of any foreign substances that, you know, not all, but some of them, I'm sure, use something that they're not using now. This has been a little bit different, and so it is difficult to judge the performance of some of these young pitchers because, again, last year was so different with them getting work at the extended site, and some pitchers didn't even have that opportunity. They did stuff on their own. But I think what was maybe more alarming to me, because, you know, you do expect bumps in the road, but, you know, Singer's had a step back. But, again, after another year, we'll see next year if this was one step back to take two steps forward. But the Mike Minor having a 567 and the Brad Keller having a 597, you hope for more from them. Duffy's been better than we expected, but he had a lengthy stay on the IL. But maybe the guys that you thought, okay, having Minor, Keller, and Duffy will help us get through the ups and downs of the young pitching. And to have Duffy not available for a portion of the season, but then Minor and Keller to regress so much, that really amplified the problems in the rotation, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Brad Keller is your opening day starter. You expect him to build off his continued success and kind of lead this rotation. And then why did they sign Mike Minor? They signed him for innings, and he struggled to do that. He struggled to go, you know, deeper in games at points in the season. And he's, you know, he's talked about how inconsistent his season is and how that's maybe the one thing that he needs to change. So I think when you go into this season and you see Keller, Minor, Duffy, you think, you know, that's going to be a pretty solid rotation. Could be upgraded, but that's going to be pretty solid. That'll get them through games, relying on the bullpen. And then when two of those three underperform and one of them is on the IL, I mean, that's not really a recipe for success.
No, and then too much is put on the young arms, and they're not able to hold up to those expectations to carry the rotation and to have to deliver the innings that they're missing with Keller and Minor struggling. Hey, Andy, we appreciate the time. Thank you. We will talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
That is Andy Rogers from MLB.com talking about the Royals. We'll take a break and wrap things up after this on WHB.